Oh, well, thank you so much, Pastor Justin, Pastor Al. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. We've had a bit of a journey, as some of you are aware. We were to be here a few weeks ago, but my mom suffered a couple strokes, and we had to go serve and be alongside her. And she's recovering, and we thought we were saying goodbye. And anyway, God's come through, and she'll be, if things go according to schedule, she'll be up here this week, actually. And she's going to spend the summer up here with my sister. So you might get to see her around. And so we've had a different journey this year. I'm going to try to do a faith statement here. We're in Wyoming. You know, Wyoming, we do a lot of prophetic, you know, declarations. So I'm going to set that there and say I can get through this without crying. I appreciate the thoughts. But anyway. But it's so wonderful to be here. I thank you for the love that you have shown our family over the last few weeks. It's just been amazing, and we're grateful for that. We go back to Australia on the 21st, and so we're just here for a short time now and trying to wrap up a few things. And I know last time we left here, we had 3 kids, and now we have 5. So my wife looks, she'll give me a dirty look if we talk about more kids, so we'll stay away from that because it doesn't look very loving, and we're in America, babe. So anyway, I'd like to share with you just a couple scriptures and some things that I just feel, just want to love on you, just thank you for all the love and support. What Al said, you know, this is amazing, and what God's been doing, you know, this is an inheritance that God's put upon this church. It's for the nations. The nations is your inheritance. And grab hold of that, you know. You know, it's like, you know, inheritances are kind of a cool thing. You don't have to work for them. You just jump in and enjoy. And that's what you have here. Sorry, I'll pick this up. So I just want to share with you out of Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Famous passage. I don't know how many times I've read it over and over and over and over. But, you know, I just want to share this with you. It says, you know, Jesus is saying, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And, you know, I love that scripture. And it's like, yeah, okay, we'll pray for missionaries. We'll pray for people to go touch the nations. We'll pray for, you know, people to be raised up in their workplaces and their callings. And we think, you know, we take on this whole responsibility and this challenge of we're going to go into the world and preach the gospel. And I love it because it's not what we're doing. We're going into his harvest field. His harvest field. It's a lot different to think of it this way. You're just hearing our sister's testimony this morning. It's his harvest. His harvest. His harvest. Whole nother way of looking at taking the gospel to the nations. We go to a lot of different places. You know, we can look at some of the nations, and we can look at some of the strongholds over some of the nations and some of the things that are going on. But that's his harvest. It's not the enemies, it's not Islam, it's not, you know, atheism, it's not whatever. It's his harvest, and we're going to bring it in. So I got some good testimonies to share with you. Some are hot off the press and good stuff that's going on amongst the nations. But it's this harvest field, you know, and I look at this, and it's, you know, one of the things that's just really been stirring in my heart over the last 6 months is, you know, I feel like God's just challenging me and just trying to find young people, trying to find people who just want to pick up responsibility and take responsibility and say, you know what, let's take the nations, let's take places for the kingdom of God, and let's bring forth a revelation of who God is to places. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, we're going to read this. This is about the church of Thyatira, okay, which is in modern-day Turkey. But anyway, I want to read something here to you. It's quite encouraging, and as it's going to just kind of set us up for where we're going. And I just really want to leave an encouragement. I'm going to share some great things that are happening, but I love this thing, the Word of God. It's amazing. You know, it's an amazing, amazing book. You know, we do Bible distribution. We're about to do another one in August. I'm going to hit another city, small town, I guess, really. But anyway, we're going to go door to door and make sure everybody gets an opportunity to have the Word of God. And I don't know how many thousands and thousands of Bibles we've distributed over the years, but we've got to keep this thing alive. We've got to keep reading it and preaching from it. There's a trend around that people think they don't need to preach from it. Man, this is our source. This is our source of a revelation of who God is. So it says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, it says, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like Burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are doing more than you did at first. Look at the things that God highlights here. He says he knows your deeds, your love, faith, your service, and perseverance. That's a dirty word, perseverance. I don't like that word sometimes, but anyway, I was just thinking about encouragement. If you want me to encourage you, I could just tell you about the last year of our life. It's been very depressing and very hard. We've had a lot of struggles, and if I was to share all these things, you would walk away very encouraged, saying, thank you, Jesus, that I don't have his journey, and that I have, another journey. We've had this battle with my mom. We have battles with Alea's family right now that are going on. It's consuming. We've had a lot of big things happen in our lives. And so perseverance is a challenging thing. But you know what? In James chapter 1, it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials and persecution. And it goes on to say further on in verse 3 or 4, he says that perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We've got to persevere. We've got to persevere, we've got to persevere, we've got to persevere. And here's God, or Jesus, is highlighting the perseverance that the church of Thyatira had. And he goes on to say, he says, nevertheless, I have this against you. Uh-oh. He says, you tolerated that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and the minds. And I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. And verse 26 is where I would like us to highlight. It says, To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter, and he will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, verse 26, and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Wow. That's amazing. Overcome and to do God's will get authority over the nations. And this is something I've been processing with Pastor Al, and he's a spiritual father. I talk to him all the time. Well, I say all the time, quite a bit. And we drink a lot of coffee, and yeah, it's awesome. And, one of the things that I'm finding really exciting is that we're starting to tap into something, and it's just, we've been doing this for 17 years, and so it's like, we're going through the perseverance and we're going through these challenges. And now, all of a sudden, it's like these young people are coming and wanting to do what we're doing. And it's just like, man, they're like getting the victories like it's an inheritance. And you're just like, that's unfair. Like, I had to fight. I fasted far more, God, than these guys. I know I've been, I'm not bragging, but I know some of the, God knows the things we've had to go through. And now these young people are coming through and they're like getting this inheritance. It's like, whoa. You didn't have to work for that. You didn't have to earn that. Because we've been persevering for 17 years in this thing. And these young people are coming, and they're just like getting the spiritual inheritance. I'm like challenging my staff. I'm like, don't get prideful. You haven't earned this, sucker. You haven't done what we had to do. Not saying that we take the credit. I'm just saying I've just had to obey God day in, day out, just like each one of us. And you guys are obeying the will of the Father, right? And so as we do this, we start to raise up young people. Those who are under us start to get the authority over the nations. Isn't that cool? And this is what we're talking about this morning, about that inheritance that is put upon this church. God has given a call, and he's given a responsibility to this body. It has released so many missionaries, so many people, so many works all over the world. It's a fun place to tap into. All right. So we're doing this, we run different courses in Australia. One's called the School of Evangelism. We were having a course, we're having a session. And, we're YWAM, so we're young people, and we're a little crazy and wild, and, why not? And so we're sitting in class one day, and as we're sitting in class, one of the guys is like, whoa, ha, ha, ha. And, you know, it's not like some manifestation of the Holy Spirit. He's like, whoa. And he's like jumping, and he's excited. And we're like, what's going on? Would you shut up? We're trying to have class. Anyway, he's all excited. He's like, look at this text message. He'd been out that week doing evangelism, met this girl who was backpacking from I don't know where, some part in the world. We live in the most beautiful part of the world, the Whitsundays. It's paradise. So people from all over the world come to see the Great Barrier Reef and to see all the gorgeous things like myself that's there and the beaches and whatnot. And so here's this person, and they'd been on their vacation backpacking, and they'd fallen, tripped. I don't really remember the story, but they had severely injured their ankle to the degree to where she'd been to the doctor, and the doctor said, we're going to schedule to do a surgery on Friday. And he had met her somewhere in the week, and he prayed, and he gave her his phone number. He says, when you go in on Friday, the doctor's going to tell you, you don't need this surgery. You know, and she just, you know, whatever, blew it off, I guess. Had her phone, he had their phone number, and so it was Friday afternoon, we were in class, and that's when all the hooping and hollering went on, and she had been at the doctor, and the doctor said, we're no longer going to have to do this surgery on your ankle. Whew, that's good fun. Fun stuff. We had a young man, it was so funny, because he came to do our school. He was actually he's a local, and God touched him on one of our outreaches, and he got fired up for Jesus, and he heard about Bethel School of Supernatural, and he's like, oh, I want to go do that. And we're like, oh, why don't you come hang out with us in YWAM? But he was like sold. He wanted to go over here to the U.S. And I was like, oh, cool, you know, go do what God tells you to do. Anyway, he didn't get accepted for some reason, maybe because of his accent, I don't know. No. But he came to me, and I was serving in the church, and he just came to me. He says, I don't know what to do. I felt like God was calling me, da-da-da-da. It's like, well, you know, God started doing something in your life here with YWAM. Why don't you consider coming and doing a course with us? And he wanted to come and, you know, learn how to do all the signs, wonders, and miracles, you know. It's like, yeah, well, we do that. So come be a part of us. So he comes, and it was so funny because he does this whole DTS, and DTS is 3 months of intense discipleship. It's fun. A lot of crying. Man, Father Heart of God week. It's like we bring out a trash can and a lot of these, and it's just snot fest everywhere. It's disgusting. We pray the health department doesn't show up that day. But he goes through this whole course. He goes out to Vanuatu on an outreach, has great outreach over in Vanuatu. They see lots of stuff. We have a whole week of debriefing. The schools come back. They're sharing all their testimonies of everything they saw. And we're like, oh, cool, you know, awesome, hallelujah, praise the Lord. What'd you learn through this? What'd you learn through that? You know, doing all that kind of business with them. Anyway, this young man, he comes to church. And so I'm doing the whole interview at church saying, okay, what did you guys learn on outreach? And he's sharing all these amazing testimonies about how God to lead people to the Lord, and how he watched how the Holy Spirit would work on people's hearts as he was just talking to them. He's like, that was so amazing. And he's standing up there, and it was so hilarious because he's standing up there, and I kind of get ready to take the mic, and he's like, oh, wait. Yeah, we saw a blind guy receive his sight. He forgot to mention that whole testimony. Here's a guy who wanted to see the signs, wonders, and miracles, and he forgot that the blind eyes opening was, you know, a big testimony. But the thing that really impressed me, and I was like, yes, the discipleship worked, was he found that the glory of God touching someone's life was the greatest miracle. Seeing somebody giving their life to Jesus. And he totally forgot about the blind eyes, the physical blind eyes opening as being a great big testimony. I thought, wow, that's awesome. Fun. We went to Turkey a couple of years ago. We go there quite a bit, but went there and we had a whole team there. And my wife and I took the team over, all the kids. Well, at that stage, it was 4 kids. You'd think the airlines would give us a little respect because we book out half the plane when we go as a family, but they don't. But anyway, we go over, and it was so fun. The first day of doing evangelism, we go out and, you know, doing evangelism and finding people to talk to, you know, doing all that. And we finish up doing evangelism, and we're standing around just trying to regroup. And as we're standing around trying to regroup, we're talking to this guy who owns a jewelry store, and I'm talking with him in Turkish, just kind of chit-chatting and trying to, you know, see what the Holy Spirit wants to do with this man. And as I'm standing there, here comes this man from Ecuador. Sorry, a young man, like 17, 18, comes wheeling up, rolling in, you know, just, and he comes up to me, and I'm talking, and he's like, where are you guys from? And I said, well, I'm originally from Colorado. He's like, oh, Colorado, I want to go there, I can smoke dope. I'm like, oh, man, get away. I'm trying to have a serious conversation with this man, and you're being a distraction. Anyway, so I'm standing there, and I said, God, all right, we're in this situation, what do you want to do? And so got this man who doesn't know Jesus right here, and this other man who probably doesn't know Jesus. And I'm sitting there, and as I'm sitting there, I felt like the Lord reminded me of Paul's strategy and that he would go to the Jew first and then the Gentile. And so I'm thinking, well, okay, the guy from Ecuador probably has a little understanding of who Jesus is, just assuming. And the man from Turkey, not so much. And I think that's why Paul went to the Jew many times, was because the Jew would have a little more understanding of what the Word of God said than the Gentile. So it's just a little bit easier to, you know, to catch fish that way. And so so I was like, well, let's start with this guy from Ecuador. And here comes one of my students. He's like on the guy. He's like, ooh, wheelchair, we're going to pray for him. And so I'm like, all right, God, yeah, give this guy this opportunity. And I stood there. And I like this testimony because, men, we get all this. This is an Aussie word for you, okay? But we get all this rubbish, okay, from women that we can't multitask, but we can. We just need the Holy Spirit, okay? And so I'm talking to this guy, you know, using my carnal brain, speaking Turkish, but I'm interceding for this situation over here on my left. And so Holy Spirit and I are having this great conversation. I'm having this conversation with this Turkish guy. And as I'm praying, as we're talking to this guy in the wheelchair, his legs start spasming. And you could see it like, boom, 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 you know, it's just shaking and stuff. And I was like, cool, God, what are you doing there? It was so cool. So as we're like sitting there talking, it's just like my friend, or one of our students, he's now on staff with us. He's like praying for this guy. This is first day of evangelism. This isn't like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, months into the, this is like day one of evangelism. You know, why not? You know, it's like, come on, let's see it happen. And so he's like praying for him, and then he's just like, well, let's get you out of this wheelchair. It's so funny. Mom and Dad walk right around the corner right as we're grabbing this guy up and out of the wheelchair. You know, could you just imagine if your kid's in a wheelchair and you just see all of a sudden these foreigners like grabbing your kid? He was on a cruise ship, this guy, so he wasn't like living there. He was on a cruise ship just for the day. And here's some of the foreigners like grabbing this kid up out of the wheelchair, and he stood up and he started to walk. Woo! That is just an inheritance that we get to tap into because Jesus paid the price and he gave us this wonderful Holy Spirit so that we could go be a blessing to all nations. Something about that in the Bible. Okay? All right. You got that? So anyway, so here's the situation, and then all of a sudden this other guy comes running out of his store. He's like, pray for me. You know, well, not pray for me. He's like hitting his back. We're like, all right. So we pray for him. We got to share, you know, Jesus with some people. It was good fun. The guy got a Bible. He said he had no pain in his neck after that. It was good stuff. And so it's just really fun to watch this whole thing about God having this amazing inheritance for his children just to enjoy. And he loves bringing in his harvest. He loves seeing his harvest come in. And we're seeing some really fun stuff with evangelism. We're going to a lot of nations right now. It's a lot of fun. We have a team right now over in Malaysia, which is really exciting. We love that place. But we just sent teams this year to the U.S., to China, to Turkey, to Malaysia again. And so we had a lot of teams sent out this year, multiple teams to some of these locations. And so it's just been a lot of fun. And Elaine and I, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We are so grateful that we can do this full time. And it's because you guys get behind us and you help us. And we are fully aware of that. And we are incredibly grateful for the love and support that this church has for us. So thank you as the leadership for championing us, believing in us. And it's just been incredible. But one of the things like Elia and I have just been seeing is, it's fun watching young people get serious with God. Yes. Get serious. Not like, you know, airy-fairy, like, ooh, I'll serve Jesus. But drill them. Make them make real decisions in their heart for Jesus. Make some serious commitments. You know, and I've had the privilege of ministering on quite a few schools, and I teach a lot on missions, and at the end of it, we just have some amazing, amazing ministry times. It's amazing. You can get into the spirit, but you still have a flesh, you know? So it's like, teach for 3 hours, and then you're praying for people for 4 hours. It's like, man, what do? You like, I drink a lot of water when I teach, and so praise God for worship teams. Worship team, let's worship Jesus. Woo! Everybody worship, you run out to the toilet. I don't know how you do it. I'm not going to carry a catheter. But anyway, just like, wow, it's amazing what God's doing with these young people. And so, like, we just enter in and, like, I get them, like, seriously focusing on Jesus and giving their lives to missions if they're going to give that call. And it's amazing what God's doing. Found after 4 hours of praying for people, you get sore the next day. It feels like you've been doing a workout. It's like, whoa, it's good stuff to watch God doing this stuff. Anyway, we had this whole ministry time, and this is some of the serious things that some of these young people are doing. It's just like, we had this ministry time. We've been going for like a few hours. Alaya had fixed lunch for me, and here we were like 2:30 in the afternoon wrapping things up. And you know my mom, right? She's a little loving, she's a lot of loving and a little pushy, you know? And she just happened to be there that day, and we're having this ministry time, and things are, you know, it's been a long time. And so we're trying to wrap things up, and the school leader's in the back, and my mom's like, you should go up and get prayer from Jeremy. She's like, oh, it's okay, she's like, no, you need to go up. And so anyway, she comes up, and I'm praying for her, and as I'm praying for her, God says, I want to refresh her. Okay, well, let's refresh her, God. So, you know, you just pray, like, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Let's refresh. And I felt like God said, get all the young people around and have them refresh their school leader. So, guys, you need to refresh your school leader. And so they're refreshing her by praying for her and says, you know, do whatever. Anyway, it was so funny because here's these young people. I mean, these are like, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids with no money, really, you know, like, or anything. And they're there praying. And it's just like amazing. Like one person just says, you know what? God just spoke to me. I'm supposed to pay for your entire outreach, which is like, you know, probably $3,500. Just a young person. It's like, God just told me. And she's just like bawling, you know, crying, you know, like those things. And she's just like crying. And then another person says, hey, God just told me I'm supposed to give you this. And this girl, I mean, I was sitting there like, whoa, she got blessed. These young people honoring their leader. I mean, like, this is amazing. And I'm sitting there like, wow, God, this is incredible. I'm like, hey, God, I'd like to get refreshed. But that would be inappropriate. So I went away home. And I went home. My wife had a lovely lunch all set up for me. You know, it's just how God is. I go home and it's like, man, God, I'm going on outreach and I need to see my own $4,000 or whatever to get on my own outreach. And as I go home, my wife's like, I just got an email. Somebody's paying for your whole outreach from Norway. I was like, whoa, God. He's serious about missions. He's serious about getting the gospel out there. To the nations. We've just been blessed. We took over a rental property of 4,500 square feet to train up young people to send them to the nations. And it's been a lot of fun. We signed our name to this contract. I was sharing this testimony with some people. You know, we're like with another base director as we're signing the contract. In the morning we're getting ready to sign the contract. The lawyer that's been helping us, he calls. He says, hey, my dad, now we're 3 hours away from where I live, okay? We're signing the contract. He says, hey, my dad's in the city, same city we were in. He says, he's tearing down an office building, and if you want any of the office equipment, you can have it. I'm like, whoa, we just got like a lot of space and we need a lot of office equipment. So, yeah, so we go over. We got close to $10,000 probably in office equipment. As we're getting ready to sign the contract, this comes through. It's just like, whoa. And so we were just like, we got this whole thing. Tammy Searle was there. She walked in, and it was disgusting. Hey, Tammy, where are you? Oh, she's probably with the kids. Anyway, we got this warehouse. It was disgusting. It was dirty. She was over there, and we saw it. And anyway, God gave it to us, and we ended up remodeling the insides and doing all kinds of stuff. It's a beautiful facility now. We have an auditorium for 60 to 80 young people to come and worship, and we have classrooms and offices and cafe area and all this stuff that's about to take off. Well, sorry, it's already taken off, but we're using it for God's glory, and it's amazing. It's an amazing opportunity that God's blessed us with, and it was just incredible because we're going to, like, do all the support raising because we need this and we need that and we need this and that, and it was just like God just started, like, giving us stuff that we were, like, trying to catch up with what God was wanting to do. It was like somebody came in and saw us trying to look at how we're going to put a kitchen in. And he's like, oh, we'll put a kitchen. He took us over to something like a Home Depot and bought us all a kitchen. And we're like, oh, okay, we got the kitchen. It was just incredible, some of the things that God just provided. And it just showed me his heart for the nations. It was like, we didn't have a lot of time. We needed to get some things done. And God was like, I'm going to get it done for you. And it was just incredible to see what God was doing. And we were just so blessed, so blessed. So blessed. And God has taken us we're right now in the midst of processing some real big things about the next season that we're about to head into. God has some real exciting stuff that we're about to head into, but we are excited about the nations. God's, our commitment to Turkey, we've just seen some young people go over there. They're living over there. We have a girl over living in Vanuatu now. We're going to continue blessing Vanuatu, and we're branching more up into China and Malaysia and other nations that are on the board. We've been coming to America. We sent two teams over here last year to America. It's just been incredible. It's been incredible. We've been so blessed, Alay and I, to watch the young people go out around the world and bless the nation. Some great stuff that is happening, and we want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But as I close, I just want to share, you know, God has just been blessing us so many ways, and it's just been so incredible. And I just want to challenge, you know, young people, old people, whoever it is, all of us, you know, is that we don't be afraid and we don't neglect those little things that sometimes we think are insignificant or they might seem a little crazy, but if they come from the mouth of God, we need to obey those things. You know, I look at years ago, some of the things that God spoke to me, and I thought, this is ridiculous and this is stupid. 17 years later, it's just like, wow, that was the wisdom of God. And I sometimes shake thinking, I am so glad that I obeyed God because I could have missed it. It's just like those crazy thing about, you know, there's multitudes of people and Jesus has been teaching all day and we need to feed these people. You give them something to eat. Don't you think if the people were hungry, they would have eaten their food? Jesus says, give them something to eat. They come with, boy, two fish, five loaves. Incredible miracle. Gideon, take some jars and a trumpet. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. God comes through with a great victory. My wife and I, years ago, we were asked to go to Australia just real randomly. Wyoming was doing this 50-day fast. Not that we were fasting for 50 days. That's scary. But we were doing a rotation of fasting for 50 days to realign ourselves. And during that time, God spoke to us and he said we needed to reconnect with YWAM Brisbane because we'd been over in Turkey. And we felt like God said to bless them. And so we said to God, okay, we'll go bless them. And we thought God was going to release us to go teach with them for a week or something, just do something very short term. I think it was within a week or so we got a phone call from the base director saying, could you come lead a school for us? We need some help. We took it before God, and as we prayed, God said, you've been asking for a way to bless Brisbane. This is it. So we said, all right. And we stepped out in faith, and we went down to Brisbane for 3 months to help them with this school. And it's incredible to see what that school did. It went off to bless nations, and it's incredible to see the connections now of what God was doing then. But there was an incredible situation that took place, and that was that the school was going to go on a one-week outreach to Airlie Beach. And we went up there to Airlie Beach, and when we were up there, the base director was talking about a vision to see a YWAM base there. I was telling my wife, you know, my wife, and she, we had a big test in that her brother was getting married, and all the finances would be provided for us to go if we wanted to, but we felt like God said no, and we had to stay committed to what he spoke to us. Even though it was short term, even though it wasn't at that stage in our life, it didn't look like it built into anything long term. Didn't it seem to, as random as anything could get from God, but we had to be obedient. And I was telling Alaya, and you know, I felt like the jerk son-in-law who said, no, you can't go to your brother's wedding. We have to obey God for some reason. Anyway, during that time, we got to go to Airlie Beach. And we got to go up there, and we got to see the vision that God had for us. We didn't even know it was for us. We were just thinking, man, somebody's going to be lucky to live here. We were feeling jealous. A year later, our commitment in Turkey was up. And as we started to pray, God started to speak. We were to be the ones to go to Airlie Beach and to pioneer that base. So we went, and we pioneered that base. I remember that first week. Calling Al, we were crying, and it was tough. We signed a contract to a house, and we got our support for that month, and we didn't even have enough to get halfway through that month. We stood out there, our return tickets had expired. Oh, God, help. We didn't have a visa to work. And I remember crying and crying to God, saying, God, what do I do? I get ready to go to bed one night. As I get ready to go to bed, you lay down, you put your head on the pillow, the voice of the Lord. Guess what he says? Jeremy, can you trust me for $4 million? I was like, God, this is irritating. I just want to pay rent. Because you have to pay rent by the week in Australia. I'll take the four, but I'd love to see rent. And I was so irritated, and I got up. And I woke up, and I was just like, God, what do we do? I'm like pacing around my house, trying to pray, trying to see, God, what are you doing? What are you teaching me? This is something God's been showing me. You know, God can redeem all things, but we have to realize that he is a teacher. They called him rabbi. We think he's a carpenter. He was only called son of the carpenter, but he was a rabbi. He's a teacher. And so he's going to teach you in everything. And so here I am in the middle of the night, and I'm like, God, what do we do? He didn't speak until it's like 3-4 in the morning. I think he's learned a lesson with me, and that's that I don't wake up. Even when he tries really hard. I say, God, this is my rest time. So here it is, 3 in the morning. I'm like, all right, I'm tired of this. Turn on the TV. And there's a good old television preacher on. Like, okay, God, are you going to like speak to me through this? As I'm there, God starts to speak. All of a sudden, I realize I had all this disappointment in people and situations and all this stuff that we were in. And I had to repent right there. And I'm sitting there like crying and crying. Just, God, please forgive me. I had my motives wrong here. And then like through that, God just, within days, miracles started happening, provision, whatever. Anyway, we have to persevere. That's what makes us mature. It's the perseverance. And I'm not saying I'm mature. My wife will call me immature pretty quick. But spiritually, our maturity comes to that perseverance. And God's been blessing us. And we just want to say thank you. And I just want to encourage you guys. I know we all have challenges. We all have real tough hardships. But let's persevere. Let's persevere. Because as we persevere to do his will, he gives us the authority over the nations. Okay? And I'm not talking about all of us missionaries. I'm talking about you who have authority over the nations here in Pagosa, over wherever you're working. God will give you that authority, but we've got to persevere to do his will. Amen?